Welcome. You're listening to Casually Baked, the podcast. Home base for the can of curious. Thanks for tuning in.
It's high time. We had a high time. Together. Together. Yes, it's high time. We had a high time. Together.
I'm alive. Hi, y'all. Sorry for the delay in getting the podcast out. I really hit the ground running. I promise I did. But I was so excited about creating a video for you that my audio ended up sucking. And I've been sitting on this gem of a podcast for a week and a half maybe because I'm trying to figure out how to fix the audio. And you know what I learned? You can't fix bad audio. So I'm making an investment this week. I'm buying some really good audio equipment. But in the meantime, please enjoy this podcast, even though it's probably the worst audio quality that I've ever shared. But when you're done, go to YouTube. I've finally started a YouTube channel, and I'm feeding it with content, and one of them is podcast 28 with my dear friend, Dr. V. So listen here and watch there. I'll catch you on the flip side.
I got the bottle of wine, the high dollar kind. I got the West Coast smoke, but I better just take one toke. I'm gonna feed you a meal from Paul Prudhomme.
Hi, y'all. I'm Joe, your host and Cannabis Lifestyle Guide, and we are easing ourselves into the new year with a special episode with one of my dearest friends and favorite people in life and cannabis, Dr. Monica Villalpando, PhD.
Oui, oui.
She's so fancy, and I talk about her all the time, and I think you people weren't sure that she existed.
Hi,
this is her.
I exist.
I affectionately refer to her as Dr. V because when she was living in Belgium finishing up her PhD, I was living in Italy, and we were friends, and I was there for her studying and her worrying and her getting ready, and so when she got her PhD, I was like, oh my God, you're Dr. V now. Like, I have this really cool friend.
So yeah, I mean, I'm going to rewind back early when we first met because, you know, being an expat can be lonely. And A, I'm like, I found a fellow American. And then she's actually cool and she smokes pot. And so when we were having, you know, we met through a mutual Airbnb host, and there's these dinners, they're drinking, and then all of a sudden it shifts to Italian, and then you're just sitting there, and it was so nice to have somebody to course with, and so you've been my partner in crime and through all my ups and downs of the past, what, 5 years? Six years now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the reason I'm in cannabis, I would probably be sitting in a cubicle right now. In my pharmaceutics job, wanting to kill myself.
You're
so
welcome,
thank you.
And you're welcome.
So thank you.
Yeah, I was so hell-bent on getting her out of big pharma and into cannabis because I knew we needed help in this space. And you're so meticulous, and your skill set as a formulation scientist is so imperative to what we're trying to do as we build this industry. And I couldn't imagine an avid pot smoker with your pedigree not being in the space.
Well, I think for me, I couldn't make the connection because I didn't understand or I wasn't aware of the medicinal properties and all the research, that all the untapped research that's still out there. And I just saw it as, like, I love getting high initially to start out with. It is my way to relax. I'm sort of a go-to all the time. I have way too many activities. And when I smoke, it just kind of calms me down and helps mellow me out. And so not realizing why I enjoyed it because of its therapeutic properties, I guess. And so once I started uncovering that, I'm like, holy shit, you know? And it's not just about getting high. There's a lot more to cannabis beyond THC. And so more people need to understand that.
Well, and that was one of the things that I was really surprised about. And what actually made me feel like, oh, wow, I am an actual pot nerd,
is that you, as a PhD scientist, didn't understand a lot about the endocannabinoid system and the different cannabinoids within cannabis. And so the fact that I had been studying that stuff, I just assumed that anybody that liked pot was studying that stuff.
And shamefully, I wasn't. But I just didn't, you know, they don't teach you that in school. Actually, just connected with one of my oldest friend from high school, and she's in medical school right now, and I asked her about it. What do they teach you about cannabis? She said, oh, it was part of our neurotox program. It was a brief, maybe a paragraph on it, and that's how it, you know, affects your neurology. So how do they expect doctors to prescribe something that they don't study or they don't truly understand? So there was just a huge, huge lack. There's a bridge, more bridging needed between like medical practitioners, researchers, and consumers.
For sure. Yeah. And I'm trying to bridge that gap in the way that I know, where I'm taking the kind of more crunchy, science-y parts. And, you know, I ask you tons of questions all the time. Like, okay, I read this. Like, what does that mean to me as a consumer? And then, you know, I do that with a lot of people in the space and then try to digest all that and figure out a way to tell people that isn't boring or exhausting and, frankly, is quick and to the point, because our attention spans are like this.
Yeah.
Especially if we're high.
Yeah. And also, just the variety of cannabis products as is. And then on top of that, with different concentration, different cannabinoids, different terpene profiles, it's just, it's confusing. It takes a lot of time. You have to really be diligent or, like, identify, okay, this is what I'm interested in, and then nail that. Otherwise, you get lost in all the details. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's been taking me a while to finally connect the pieces, and I'm still learning like crazy.
Well, and I think one of the things that I'm most curious about is, from you being in big pharma and in actually big pharma in Europe and, you know, the UK and in the United States, and then transitioning into cannabis, what are like the big glaring things that you saw that either were a, oh my God, or, you know, like, wow, they're really advanced?
Well, I'm actually going to answer your question differently, because from pharma, I had a little break in the electronic cigarette world, the e-liquid manufacturing for nicotine.
Yeah, that's right.
And so that was the first, like, you know, these people aren't following up to standards or quality practices, you know, quality assurance type of traceability testing. You know, it was at the time, when did I start? In 2014, the Tobacco Products Directive in the EU had just come out. So all these manufacturers are trying to figure out and be compliant. So they're trying to, you know, build in these best practices. And that's when I got involved. And so that was the uncovering of, oh, wow, you know, this is done differently. Because I didn't know anything else but pharma. And I, you know, next to like aviation, it's the most regulated environment there is. Mm-hmm. So this is very much regulated to an unregulated landscape. And now cannabis fell somewhere in the middle when I entered it. So maybe probably I entered the e-cigarette industry very much in the infancy stage. So I kind of saw the worst of it, and it's gotten way, 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 way better in the safety and the efficacy. There's so much more understanding of the tox implications. So, you know, they're a little bit ahead, but so now I'm coming back to an unregulated or, you know, not
just recently.
Environment. So there is a familiarity there. So I didn't have that shock value.
Okay.
Than I did when I entered the e-cigarette space. What I did find interesting was when I started looking at these products, and that's really when it clicked for me. Oh, this is where I can help the industry, because I'm going to dispensaries and seeing all of these product offerings. I was just massively unimpressed by the majority of the things that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And not just in terms of the product, but also the packaging, the label claims, you know, just no consistency, no traceability, no expiration dates.
Well,
you know, edibles
when
go
I
bad.
Moved, right. Well, when I moved to Sonoma County in 2015 and I got my medical card, it was like hand wrapped brownies and Rice Krispies, and there was a, you know, a cooler where there were some other kind of edibles there, but it was all very rudimentary. And to think from then to now, it has been 0 to 420.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, everything is sleek and slick and packaged and marketed. And you look like a kid in a candy store walking into a dispensary now. And to try to decipher what's good for me, what are good ingredients, what are good products, what does this mean, how is this going to make me feel, it's system overload.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, you may have some good tips for people as far as you see this, walk the other way, you know, don't, or, you know, what are the things that you see that are good right now and what can be better?
Yeah, well, there's definitely a lot of improvement. So it has been fun. I actually went into dispensary yesterday and I was thinking, I'm so lucky to be able to be doing this because I just spent the holidays in Europe and
yeah.
I was like, I need my cannabis.
Yeah. Well, and I had one of my friends called me a couple of days ago and she goes, you know what? It would be really cool if there was a cannabis product made of tea. I was like, there's like 7 of them.
Yeah.
I mean, how 20 probably across
the
country.
Yeah, if you can
now.
Think of it, there's probably.
Yeah, I'm like, that does exist. And it's just like, people have no clue what we have access to.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the times, when I look at products, I start off looking at the packaging and what the intended delivery of that product is. So, for example, if I'm looking at a topical, is it in a clear packaging? You know, because cannabinoids are prone to oxidation, light sensitive, so it will degrade over time. So
clear packaging is bad.
Yes, clear packaging is very bad. Ideally, you want to do glass, you know, so less interaction. Avoid extractables and leachables of the materials of the container leaching into your product and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So
clear is bad, plastic's bad.
Yeah. I mean, not all plastic. So you mm-hmm. have to, you know, there's different high density, like for example, high density polyethylene. All right. I just hate these acronyms too. I deal with five different industries and there's so many damn acronyms. So I'm always like, damn.
Well, and I don't know what half of that stuff is.
Whatever. So there's, you know.
Well, Mara Gordon was like, in PG or this, and I'm like.
Probably like all.
Yeah, I was like, does that mean?
Yeah. No, so there, that, and I have to be mindful when using acronyms. That's what I was like trying to say, because it's so easy to just know the acronym, but then forget what it actually stands for. But anyways.
Or forget your audience.
Yeah, forget your
audience.
And then. As well as for topicals, how is it getting delivered? So are you sticking your finger in there? So you're going to have, from opening the jar, closing it. So again, air, light coming into
mm-hmm.
it, degrading it.
Well, and the other thing too, like when I share my muscle rub with someone and they open the jar, I have to say, listen, it's one dip per customer.
Yeah.
Like you put your finger in there once, it's not going back in. Like it grosses me out.
Yeah. I was going back to my dispensary store yesterday. I always look at, you know, I hadn't seen this topical. I forget the name. And they're like, oh, we can have a sampler. Let me, here you go. And it's this jar and it's, you know, about a quarter of it's left. And I'm like, I'm just going to smell it. I'm sorry. I don't want to dip my finger in there. And I said, I'm sure there's many fingers that haven't been dipped. And the guys, and the bud tender's like, oh yeah. I'm like,
yeah.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
And so they do that at shows as well, you know,
ooh,
some of the shows.
Yes.
Some people, you know, love the people that give the sticks, you know. Thank you, people.
I do that because you taught me to do it.
Well, and that's the thing.
And
so
have a place for them to throw the damn thing away.
Yes. And so if they're not bothering to, if you're at a show or dispensary, they're not bothering to think of those type of things, they're probably not thinking about the cleanliness and of their production facilities,
mm-hmm.
you know, or just thinking a little bit more beyond like, let's just put cannabis in this product and sell it, you know, like there's different levels of that, you know, so.
And this may be, as a cannabis gun for hire, you go into a lot of labs and a lot of facilities. are they stepping it up? Are there people that have, you know, clean rooms and are doing it right? Or what does it look like behind the scenes?
Yeah, everyone is stepping up their game. And usually what I've seen, I've been very much impressed with the industry, and everyone is trying to do their best. Mm-hmm. Like you say, you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
So, but they're always open for improvement, mm-hmm. because they want to have best practices and they want
right.
to get a consistent good product out. I'll do an initial screening. If a client's interested in my services, then I'll do a phone screening. And from that, I can usually gauge,
mm-hmm.
you know, are you running, you know, out of your bathtub, mixing up some things, you know,
yeah.
or not. So I wouldn't even interact.
Yeah. You wouldn't entertain.
So I can't
yeah.
really tell you any shocking dirty secrets of the cannabis manufacturing facilities. All as I know, the clients that I've seen and I've interacted with have,
mm-hmm.
you know, really want to do their best, and some are a little bit more on point than others, but everyone's moving into, you know, that trajectory.
Well, and shit, that's what I want to hear.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear dirty little secrets.
No.
Like, I want to feel like I can go in and feel confident buying the products
yeah.
that are out there. So I'm happy to hear that.
But I do think that there needs to be more collaboration between industry professionals. So, like, for example, there's this, there's ASTM standards, which is an international standardization body. And involved in many different industries, and D, I believe it's 3-7, they're starting up the cannabis space. And so, you know, in implementation of quality control procedures and practices, and, you know, standards of like labeling of your products. This is so
yes.
especially, okay, going back to the topicals example,
mm-hmm.
they'll say 50 milligrams of cannabinoids. Like, well, what the hell does that mean? You know, how big is your container?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what, you know, is it makes, what makes per mil is that? What's the concentration? Because that's going to
mm-hmm.
dictate the efficacy as
right.
well of your product. You know, there's no, if I see 3-1, is it 3-1 CBD to THC or THC to CBD?
Right.
It switches off between companies.
Well,
so
and
like
isn't
that.
It supposed to be THC first, CBD second?
I don't know. You tell me.
Well,
what about,
I mean,
then throwing THCA and Delta 8 THC and like,
well,
you know,
yes.
we're going to start getting very creative with these ratios.
Mm-hmm.
The more we learn about these different cannabinoids and yeah, we need to standardize that, because people,
yeah.
you need to be, you know, you look at the back of, you know, food label, that's standardized, and how the order of, you know, how things are listed and how the,
well, and that the graphic is the exact same thing on every packaged good. That way you just
exactly.
instinctively know where to look for what you're looking for.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're brand new to using cannabis, you go to, you know, a dispensary, you're interested in a few edibles, you can like look at them back to back without having to bust out your calculator to see like what, you know,
right.
Or, you know, and that was the other thing. I'm very sensitive with edibles. So I was shopping for that specifically.
She's the one that always sell the edible stories now.
Do we need to do a sign?
Oh no.
Oh, God.
The people that listen to the podcast know exactly who you are.
Anyways, when, you know, and they'll say, oh, this is 180 milligrams of cannabinoids. Well, what is that? One cookie? Is that five
yeah.
cookies? It's like, what am I getting? Like, what is
mm-hmm.
what is the dose? So there needs
is
to be
that
more.
Is that one pretzel stick or is that the whole bag?
I thought you were talking about
puff?
Sicily.
Oh, I think I've told that story too.
Okay, I might have missed that one.
Yeah,
but yeah,
I think
that
you've
one
been
was
on
the,
a, you've been a cautionary tale a couple of
yeah,
times.
Edibles. I am, my tolerance is building up, but
yeah.
I'm still you don't know. And then the other thing is I get with edibles is probably a lot of people in the audience, it might give you, I think I find one brand that I love. And then I don't know if it's I build a tolerance for it or whatnot, but then I'll get another batch and it's not hitting me the same, or it's just
mm-hmm.
not right. So it could be inherent things in me of like I've eaten recently or not, or you know, if I'm tired or not. So these things play into like
all of that
external variability, or is that some of the variability in their processing and their sourcing? That's
well,
like,
I mean,
you know,
they can contract with the same farm, but it'd be two different crops of cherry
exactly.
cheesecake, and it's going to hit you a little bit differently. But the other thing too that I read that they're finding is that you do build up. You do build up a tolerance for the different ones. So, you know, when you go and you buy pot, I know it seems like a great idea to get the eighth or get a quarter ounce. Get a gram of like four or five different things. Like, that's the best way to consume pot.
Yeah.
Oh, and so stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
And then going back to packaging, don't keep it in those plastic baggies.
I'm kind of guilty of doing that. But I live in 300 square feet of nothing. I can't wait to have a space where I can have all my pretty jars that are not clear and be able to put all of it in.
I just make more containers, you know? Just create more small containers and put the little Bovita packets in each one that I love. I love using those. And that's what it's, you know, it just protects the glass jars. Again, reduces sort of the moisture ingress, which will, you know, further increase the degradation of the cannabinoids and the terpenes. Go. Green is ready.
It smells so good. And what did you say this was again?
The cherry cheese.
Okay, that's what I thought. That's why when I
seal. I don't often have to buy, just being in the industry, I don't have to buy cannabis that often, but this is when I made a, like, big purchase. I just loved that, love the strain, so.
I appreciate it, yeah. We're mixing our lip glosses.
It's okay.
Just rub it in. Yeah, so we're in the dispensary, we're looking on shelves, we're finding what we want and how to compare. So you've talked to us about the containers and the packaging and labeling.
Yeah, like even like I use the top example of topicals, but even if you think of vape, are the cartridges plastic or glass? You know, there's simple rules of thumb to kind of follow. And it's just, you know, it's, as the saying goes, all that glitters isn't gold. And so it might have nice buttoned up packaging, but dig a little bit deeper and see what, if there's any science behind it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a company that I reached out to that, I really liked the texture of this topical but there's no claim of what the cannabinoid ratio is. So it could be
at all.
And, so it could be really low. Cause the reason I asked, it made me look, is because the feel of the topical would be very difficult to do with cannabis extract. And, so I was just curious trying to do, okay, well, what concentration, like how do they do this? And I didn't see, I sent an email, just a general inquiry, and I didn't even get a response. So again, beautiful packaging, dig a little deeper, ask some, you know, few inquisitive questions and you know, there you go. And you'll be, and the more you do it, the smarter consumers will get.
Right. So I have a question. A lot of people that don't like cannabis, they've never had an affinity for the smell or the taste of it. They are flocking more towards some of these vape pens that have flavors. And I'm curious, like, are those good for us? You know, you get something that's like grapefruit mimosa or, you know, I'm just making shit up. But you know what I mean. Like, what's the efficacy of these additional flavors and stuff that they're adding in? What does it do to us?
All right. Well, actually,
is that okay?
Well, it's kind of a loaded question. I'm just trying to figure out like the best way to answer it because it also kind of ties in.
Tell me why it's a loaded question, because I'm just asking as a curious person. That's like, what is this doing?
Because I'm thinking, because it very much touches in line with the work that I do in the nicotine e-cigarette space.
Okay.
And so there, I help U.S. companies with compliance in the EU through my partner in Beckett Associates.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll do the formulation side of it. And I reviewed tons and tons of these e-liquid formulations that are comprised of these flavorings. And the answer is it depends on what's used. You know, so a lot of these flavorings are food grade. So there's not, there's very limited inhalation data on them.
Mm-hmm.
More and more is now, you know, being developed and compiled and researched, just given the popularity of e-cigarettes, and especially in Europe, they've been a bit more diligent in terms, just because their regulation is further ahead of being implemented versus here. But the U.S. is also moving again more in a safety direction. So with that have been discoveries of ingredients that should be taken out. So it really, I would say, yeah, some should be okay. And it's also the concentration that's being used. So there's a lot of factors that are hard to define. Is this e-liquid safe, or is this, flavoring safe in this e-liquid? Well, yeah, maybe under certain, concentration. You know, we are exposed to toxins, pollutants all the time, but it's generally like a little lower level. Right, you know, just living in the city, the formaldehyde that I'm inhaling on a day-to-day basis, compared to if I'm sitting in a hot boxing in it. So it's just really, it's concentration, it's usage, it's what the ingredient is. So I can't really answer that question. I think in the case of cannabis, I don't necessarily see the need to do that because you have terpenes. Right. It's unnatural. Like we were just talking, we started, we love tasting the rainbow, the firefly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for nicotine, they don't have that. It's
right.
And their taste buds are killed from all the smoking. So it's also, just
right.
helping them transition from combustible cigarettes to vaping nicotine. First, I think for the sake of cannabis, the plant already produces nice, tasty little.
Yeah.
So why?
So the moral of the story is like vape flower out of a firefly.
Or just
firefly. You need to pay me.
Or if you're doing a cannabis extract, so I work with Level, as they're one of my favorite collaborators.
Yeah.
And they use cannabis derived terpenes mm-hmm. in the extract. Some people are using food derived, so that keeps the cost down. And so it's again, and that's another question to ask if you're looking for vape.
Right.
Are these terpenes food or cannabis derived? And that'll tell you a little bit more. So
if
you're comparing price and one's a little bit more but uses cannabis derived, well, then there's your answer,
Yeah.
So.
No, that's great. That's good advice. That's good, simple advice. So the moral of that long story, if you are vaping and you're looking for a vape pen, ask if it's cannabis derived or food derived terpenes that are in there that are giving that pod the flavor that it is.
Yeah.
Okay. We can do that. So what else? Oh, so you've been working on some really cool stuff. I actually gave some of your CBD sublingual tablets to my dad for Christmas. And told him that he needed to, take one in the morning. I wanted him to take one in the evening. He's been forgetting a few things, and it makes me a little bit nervous. Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited about what you've recently been working on. Do you want to tell everybody?
Yes, I'm so excited because it's been a very long and challenging process, but I've learned a lot from it, and it's just been... that's my kind of my newest cannabis formulation baby, as I like to call it. So I, as I mentioned, Level, we have been collaborating on this project. And so Chris, the co-founder, he has a PhD in organic chemistry and is just like a ninja isolator. He's just amazing and just a good guy. And it's a wonderful team. And so we've been just merging our two different expertise to create this product. And I'm coming from a formulation pharmaceutics background, so he's also been teaching me a lot about cannabis and the intricacies of the different cannabinoids.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first project, because there's more in development, but this first one are these sublingual tablets. And so when we say sublingual, that's below the tongue. So that's how tinctures are taken.
Yeah.
And it's so the advantage of that is that the medicine gets absorbed immediately into the bloodstream. Now, if you were to eat something, swallow it, it has to go through your whole digestive tract, so it gets dissolved in your stomach, and then it has to go through the intestine and metabolize into the liver, and then it gets into your bloodstream.
And it's going to make you feel differently because of that.
Yeah, and because of that, it will also circulate longer through your body. That's why you feel high longer when you eat something versus vaping, smoking or something like that. So this is, so the effect with sublingual delivery isn't going to be as strong as inhalation, but it'll also last longer. So it will, think of it as a in between eating and smoking.
Things get a little bit visual here as Dr. B tries to dumb some things down for me. So if you want to see this part, check it out on YouTube.
So with that crazy intro, so these are, and then what's nice is these are a much more convenient delivery method than carrying a bunch of liquid tinctures around. And so with liquid
and especially in my suitcase.
Yes.
Yeah, that gets so annoying. Like, you know, I put them in a Ziploc baggie and then I'm like, oh, please don't break or don't leak or so. Yeah, yeah, this is so much easier.
And the other thing, solids have inherently better stability than liquid formulations. So you're also having a more stable formulation and a more convenient one to carry around.
Okay.
So the other cool thing about these are that if you, in comparison to, say, the tinctures, is that that's already a finished product. That concentration of cannabis is there. That that ratio, whatever it be, 1 to 3, is already formulated. With mm-hmm. this, you can customize it
right
to however you want. So they're low dose. So each cannabinoid, and we have THC.
So these are cannabinoid specific sublinguals.
Yeah. Thank you. So this is Delta 9 THC. And then there's also...
Well, so as we go, so Delta-9 THC, what's this going to do for someone? What's the importance of Delta-9 THC?
That's what makes you feel high. That's okay. That standard, you know, that's what...
Delta-9 THC, we want to get high.
You want to get...
We want to get high, but it also has medicinal effects.
Of course.
But you want to get high. Okay.
Or just take the edge off.
Really. Well, that's
what
I...
Just like, you know,
well,
just
with
like
a
little
dose.
Bit, like a low... Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. You'll... When I think high, I'm just thinking high.
But I just want people to know because
this is psychoactive. Yes.
3 milligrams of THC does get some people high.
Absolutely.
Because they don't consume the way we do.
Absolutely. And there was a day when that would have totally been my sweet spot. So.
Yeah.
So this is actually, this is Delta 8 THC, which is a more unique cannabinoid. And this is mild. This also gets you high, but is less psychoactive than the Delta 9 THC.
It's the diet version.
So this one also, it has, so it's, you know, we call this one smooth. So it has relaxation properties to it. I think my favorite combo has been one of each.
Okay.
So that's been my sweet spot. And that was recommended to me by one of the coworkers at Level. So he kind of found this ratio, and this is, we want to start kind of playing around because you can really have a lot of creativity, and maybe, you know, you want to switch it up and just you never know like how you're feeling. So
I tried some of these when they were in development, but I haven't tried any of them since they're like final packaged, so I'm really excited to give them a shot. I'll come up with my own little formula and send you. Try one pink, one green.
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. They're color, they're formulated with different colors. So if you have them in your pill box, you can easily identify what they are. And
very
so,
smart.
Yes, yes.
I appreciate that.
And so I used natural colorants. You want some of them, so like freeze-dried blueberry, raspberry, and but you won't taste it. So it's just, they're not meant to, there's a mild minty taste to it, but they're not meant or designed to be your mint. They're meant to be your vitamin. And
you're getting all punny
your little
mint. It's not meant to be your daily mint, but it does taste
like
mint.
Copy
that.
To me.
Okay. We had to take a little casually baked intermission.
And my tea was cold.
So. Yes, reheat tea, potty breaks. And we're trying to drink more water in 2018.
It's hard work, you know. there you're screening. I'll let you do the honors because I did it last time.
Okay, so what are we smoking?
Island Mountain Organics Lemon OG. No, it tastes really, really nice. Yeah.
Wow, that tastes really
good.
Yeah,
it does. Yeah, it's one of my favorites too.
I want to try that in the Firefly.
Gosh, it's charging up right.
Really nice.
Yeah, it is nice. Yeah, they do a good job. John is who runs the farm is meticulous. I've seen him, you know.
Yeah.
With like a magnifying glass, just looking at everything in process. And so, yeah, he's very, very good. Love those guys.
I dig it.
Yeah.
All right. So.
So, back to the.
Yeah. So, back to your sublinguals. You told us about Delta 8
and
Delta
9. So, these are the two psychoactive forms.
Yes.
So, Delta 8 less than Delta 9. And then the two non-psychoactive forms are CBD, which are becoming more and more prevalent in the industry. More research is being done on CBD, which has amazing anti-inflammatory properties and amongst another slew of...
One of them being sleep and relaxation.
Yeah. Another side note, if you feel like you're too high from THC, take some CBD and that will help.
Mm-hmm.
Calm down the effects as well. And then my new favorite cannabinoid is THCA. So we call this Relief, and rightfully so, because it's just helped, well, weird hangovers, but
yes,
that's, you know, that is usually when you want some fast relief. But also, I had really bad menstrual cramps the other day, and I was just in like aching pain. I didn't even know if I could get out of bed. It was so bad. It just hit me, and it was a day actually going to the Emerald Cup. I had to go.
Oh, yeah.
You remember I called you, and I took some of these, and really I was amazed at how much better I felt. And, you know, I, having lived in the UK, they have low dose, like, codeine over the counter that you can get.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they do. And you have to, you know, you can't just grab it. It's behind the counter with the pharmacist, and they'll say, you know, don't take for more than 3 days. But I would usually, you know, I would take one or two to relieve it, because I would get it sometimes really bad to the point where I'm maybe even throwing up.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is where cannabis is a perfect example, as cannabis use has been replacing opioid use. Now,
yeah.
I wouldn't say I had an addiction or anything. I took one or two because I had pain, and that's the only thing that helped.
Right.
And so, but it does work.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, any sort of headache, pain relief, THCA is a really good one. And so, and then going back to this is, you know, you can really get creative and play around with these different ratios and combinations. And, you know, in the morning you might not want any of the THCs, and, you know, have your CBD THC morning, you know, medication.
Well,
in the evening, like,
I totally believe as cannabis as a multivitamin, and this is the first product that I've seen that really allows you to play with that.
Yeah.
You know, I take a magnesium pill in the morning, I take a hyaluronic acid pill in the morning, and now I can take my THCA pill in the morning and my CBD. And I actually do take the THC in the morning as well. But it's like, it's part of my vitamin regimen.
Yeah.
And it's a way to get the benefits of cannabis without ever having to smoke it, without having to eat something that has calories in it. You know, everybody's doing this, what, that 30 diet, whatever. I'm like, I have no idea.
I don't diet.
That's the other thing about cannabis. I have not had any problems regulating my weight since I became a meticulous cannabis consumer. Like, just smoking pot when I lived in Austin, you know, I was still heavier, but I also drank a lot and ate a lot of queso.
Yeah. Well, the other one, actually, I forgot the little packet, but we have THCV as well, which is shown to have appetite suppressant.
Yes.
So, speaking of weight loss, so that one's coming out. I mean, that's a harder cannabinoid to source.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
that will be the most expensive one.
Yeah.
Is that what you're telling me?
So, you know, THC, you know, plants are bred to express a lot of THC. So, the cost of these different boxes will range on the cannabinoid. But, you know, you find you take a THC and maybe a more expensive one. You can, you know, work it around that. And these are not cost prohibitive whatsoever.
Right.
And if you think about down the line and, like, sort of the, you know, illness prevention that you're incorporating in your lifestyle, it just, just a dentist.
Maybe you can pass along a consumer tip to Level and see if they'll put them together in, like, you know, the full pack where I want all of them. So can I get a little bit of a discount if I buy all of them together? You know, like the pro pack?
Well, I think you just told them.
Yeah, I love it. Because they're all in a sleeve together.
Yeah, well, that was the idea, actually, to provide the... Well, they're all color, mm-hmm. color-coded. I forgot if I had already said that or not, but each one is a different color. So if you have it there, you know exactly which one you're picking, you know, assuming you remember the color it is. But yeah. But that was part of the rationale for doing that, mm-hmm. so that they would all come in one kit. But now it's... Here you can really... gives it more flexibility, because we also yeah. want to get more data on what's working for people, mm-hmm. what's not, and it's, you know, there's, it's sort of a, going back to that feedback loop and information mechanism, so yeah. everyone produces this, and so this is allows for very customizable, you know, medication.
Yeah, or, and I love it.
Or fix or whatever, so.
I'm really excited about it. I've been, you know, like, I've been using the test pills.
All of my tests.
A while now.
You are my number one guinea pig always. So no, it's been fun. And it's been, for me, it's been very exciting and a lot more challenging than I expected would be, because, you know, this is a low dose tablet. And so I didn't think that the influence of the cannabinoid would have such an impact on the tablet properties. And I'm just uncovering some more surprises, and that's what I just love about this research and this plant. And so
yeah
it's been a really, really fun
well location. And the fact that you are so meticulous and you love the plant so much and you are constantly refining and making not only the product better, but, you know, adding such benefit to the team and all of your insight was why it's been so much fun for me to work with you on our muscle rub.
Yeah.
And we already have quite a few people in the audience, as well as people that would never listen to my podcast, who are huge fans of the muscle rub. And being able to push this out into just my close-knit yeah. friends and family network, where I can constantly go back and ask, what are you using it for? How is it helping you? And yeah. it's been so fun to get feedback for it helping gout and knee replacement surgery pain, like the muscles in Katie's leg. She was like, just everything trying to counter and help with the knee. She was like, my legs just ached.
Yeah.
She like sent me this voicemail, like, please put something in the mail. I'm out. I'm dying.
Well, and I even got out too.
And one of my friends, Lupus, I mean, she, you know, she keeps some at work. She keeps some by her bed. And triathletes are finding it working for them. So it's so great. But I want you to talk a little bit more about how it came to be and why everything that's in there is so important. And then, you know, why we're not out.
It's not out yet.
Yeah,
it's not out of the out into the yes. unleashed yet. Well, yeah, so the muscle rub was probably years of development. Now, not specifically on this muscle rub alone, but I guess going back to when I was living in Europe and, you know, formulating is my passion. It's what I do. It's what I studied. But also yoga and wellness and is as well, and I felt that working for the pharma industry sort of was a conflict of those two worlds, and so I found solace in formulating natural skincare products in mm-hmm. my kitchen, and so I started back in 2014 researching, and then when I moved to Manchester, where we have a lot of rainy days. You keep yourself occupied. Can't always go to the
it's
pub.
It's a very Manchester day today.
Yeah,
here.
You would say Mancunian day.
Mancunian day.
And so that's when I just started ordering oils and essential oils and just playing around with different options. And it was helpful. I lived in an amazing little hippie community, yeah. and so there was a lot of other products I could research, and, you know, mm-hmm. just starting to hone in more on this area and what's being done and the challenges. And it's hard to make a natural skincare product all natural good. It's, you know, has inherently there's variability in it, and you know, just can't mm-hmm. use these, you know, strong preservatives and antioxidants and all that stuff.
Well, it's kind of the fun challenge of like getting back to basics.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, so fast forward, you know, I was always, you know, making different balms and scrubs and stuff for friends. Mm-hmm. And then I move over here and then we start really honing in and working on this, cannabis muscle rub together. And so we, you know, based on your market feedback and the things that you saw and what I know you...
Yeah, so I think, you know, basically what I had done was tested every muscle rub I could find in California and Colorado, and there was just one that I really loved, and unfortunately it was in Colorado, and I'm in California, and so was like, Monica, this is what I know here. Be smart and diligent and make something freaking awesome. Then she got started with these basics, and then I got to just be the test, test study and all the different scents and formulas. And so the list of ingredients is on the website, but like you meticulously chose.
I did. So, you know, I was focusing on anti-inflammatory. That's what I wanted to hone in on. And, you know, CBD, as we mentioned earlier, is shown good and pain-relieving anti-inflammatory properties, but so are other ingredients. Mm-hmm. So it has a high concentration of arnica in there as well. You know, I, through my yogic training, also studying some Ayurveda and some of the ingredients that use that. So I put chalmugra oil in there. It's been used in Ayurvedic and Chinese medicine for... actually used to treat leprosy. So it has good skincare properties.
Yeah,
so
nice.
And so just, you know, taking time to research what's going in there, I see mm-hmm. so many, if I look at the back of ingredients, so many Me Too ingredients, nothing with a little bit more, why is that? You know, I mean, mm-hmm. and so that's really what I tried to do. And so in that research, it took a little bit longer. And then also as part of my research of, you know, just general skincare formulation, you think of, you know, natural absorption enhancers and those, you know, terpenes and terpenoids found in specific essential oils. So, you know, the challenge was getting those terpenes that I wanted in the formulation to help pull in and absorb the CBD, finding that in the right ratio of a nice scent. And so I also wanted to make
it a huge thing for me.
Yeah, that took the scent took forever because I wanted to make it gender neutral. I wanted to make it complex but not too busy and balanced, you know, with, you know, mm-hmm. base, medium, and top notes and when you smell it. So I'm really proud of it. And so I was at a conference last year and I was using it, I opened it up. And these guys next to me, they're like, that smells amazing. I'm like, well, thank you. I mean, yeah. But that's the point. I wanted it to appeal to both genders too, because mm-hmm. it's, you know, it's not, we all suffer from pain, like
that, well, yeah. And one of the other things that was really important to me when we were creating this, besides the scent, was, I guess it's called just glide. Like how good the glide was, because I use it in my massages, and when I would take other topicals, they would almost use the whole jar. Because it took so much, because it was hard to like rub into my body. And so I'm like, okay, you only use the topical on my shoulders, under my shoulder blades, like because I was trying to preserve it. And then the smell would get so overwhelming that I was like, shit, like I can't even take this smell anymore. It's so menthol-y.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so we even got our massage therapist involved with this.
Yeah.
And so Drea, would use this during my massage. And a lot of times, you know, in the beginning, there were some scents that I was like, okay, I can't take it for this long. But then this one, like, this is perfect. And Drea was like, the glide is amazing. And so anyway, I've been a personal user. I mean, I'm patient zero. Is that what they would call it? And so, I'm like, I feel like this was made exactly for me. Mm. And if I'm going to use it, I feel comfortable spreading the word and doing a shameless plug on my podcast.
I sent out, as best as I could, I know I'm self-funded, these blind clinical studies where I reached out to my friends and said, I'm going to give you different samples. I need your feedback and just which one worked. We were trying to hone in on concentrations and, and also stability data. Those first batches, they were separating. I'm like, can't have that. That's the whole reason I'm looking at the industry. I'm like, I can do better because I am seeing topicals that separate or crystallize, or there's that layer of oil, and it's like it needs to be on point. And so the last stretch of this development is finding a manufacturer now, because as I've been poo-pooing on like stipping your finger in here, but so it's been a challenging. I refuse to put my topical in just your another standard me too packaging, not just from a novelty but from a like an efficacy and a stability perspective. So putting it, so the first time it gets dispensed, that's the first time it's exposed to the air and your skin, since
bacteria for fingers and
it's
all kinds
so
of
important
stuff.
So we've honed in on, and we're that's the final stretch, but it's been a good lessons along the way, but so once it's done, it's been a few years in the making, and it's just making right decisions and not just, pushing out whatever.
Right.
And I think now is even more important as it's getting more and more crowded this.
Yeah.
Way,
And so right now the muscle rub that you're purchasing is made with this woman's hands. Like we're batch producing it right now. And so that's another part that I love, is that, it's small right now. It's in these jars with our little sticker on it. I mean, it's so simple right now, but it's just these two girls right here doing it. So it is pretty fucking simple, but it's like complex and amazing at the same time. And I'm really proud of it. I think it's amazing. I don't think there's anything better on the market, and I'm proud of us.
Yeah.
Finally.
You got your place fixed up nice with all those little colored lights.
Well, thank you for hanging out with me. And I hope y'all have enjoyed getting to know Dr. V. And you will learn more about Dr. V in an upcoming episode where we are going to talk about cannabis and mindfulness and yoga. In the meantime,
thanks
for hanging out. Thanks for getting casually baked with us. Happy 2018.
Bye.
Casually Baked, the podcast, was created, recorded, produced, edited by the team of Just Joe. Our theme music is by my handsome and fabulous friend Seth Walker. If you aren't familiar with his music, check out his latest album, Gotta Get Back, wherever you are buying your music these days. I know he didn't create High Time for me, but it sure as shit sounds like he did, right? I hope you'll tune in next time. Thanks for hanging out. Head on over to the show notes for more info at casuallybaked.com/blog.